So our next speaker is Kate McIntyre. Kate McIntyre is a leading member of the Chicago Anti-War Committee and Freedom Road Socialist Organization, and she's been involved in activism since 2007. She was the first person to speak at the press conference for the Anti-War 23, and she was arrested at Boeing headquarters protesting Boeing's weapon sales to Israel. I've had the pleasure of working with Kate side by side for a few years, and recently we actually went to Cuba together for the World Peace Council's seminar against militarization. So Kate's great. Here she is. All right, so thank you all for coming. 108 years ago, women garment workers in New York protested and went on strike for 13 weeks. Inspired by this fight, German socialist Clara Zetkin proposed that March 8th should be celebrated as International Working Women's Day. It is celebrated around the world and in some countries is a national holiday. However, despite the fact that International Working Women's Day's origins are in the United States, very few know that this holiday exists. For those that do, many of them know it as just International Women's Day and not International Working Women's Day. Why is this? And why is the word working so important? Women in the United States are encouraged to believe that seeking wealth, material possessions, titles, and a seat at the exploiter's table will somehow raise the status of women collectively. Madeleine Albright recently said, in regards to young women who are not supporting Hillary Clinton, "There's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other." I'm not here to talk about hell. I'm not here to question the moral character of someone who justified the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children on national television. I'm not here to help anybody. I have the honor of working with those whose liberation is bound with my own. Hillary Clinton's commitment to big banks, warmongering, for-profit healthcare, and anti-union companies like Walmart means that her liberation is not bound with ours, despite her gender. This is where the word working is incredibly important. It does not mean simply whether you are employed or unemployed. It means having no common interest with the greedy parasites like Hillary Clinton and working towards a world where austerity and the 1% are wiped out. I began working in the anti-war movement in the fall of 2007, opposing the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan. At the Republican National Convention of 2004, Bush declared, quote, "Young women across the Middle East will hear the message that their day of equality and justice is coming." However, what became clear to me and drove me to action is that the U.S. brings nothing but death and destruction wherever it goes. In the past year, there has been a 37% rise in Afghan women casualties, and more Iraqis were killed in 2015 than in the years 2010, 2011, and 2012 combined. And this is not an accident. The U.S. never had nor has any intention of liberating or promoting equality for women anywhere, much less in the Middle East, where it is seeking to gain complete control. While our government claims that it is a torch for women's rights that will illuminate other countries around the world, inside the U.S., women are still struggling for equality and liberation. Women are still paid less than men, and violence against women is on the rise. Every 9 seconds in the U.S., a woman is assaulted or beaten. Transgender women and LGBTQ women, particularly those of oppressed nationalities or women of color, face the most severe violence and the highest risk of homicide. In 2015, over 20 transgender women in the United States were murdered, the largest number on record. Women in the United States also struggle to receive basic health care. Not only is access to abortion and birth control constantly under attack, but medication and surgical procedures for trans women are often very difficult to obtain as well. And all of these operate under a system where healthcare is treated as a venue for profit rather than a basic human right. This means poor and working class women struggle to even be able to afford the limited healthcare there is, making them easy prey for illegal and unsafe procedures. As U.S. relations with Cuba have become more normalized, the U.S. is fond of lamenting over the poor, repressed status of the Cuban people. However, as someone who had the opportunity to visit Cuba last year, I feel that nothing could be further from the truth. In Cuba, International Working Women's Day is a national holiday, and health care is a human right. From abortion and birth control to medication and surgical procedures for trans women, all of it is covered by Cuba's national health care system, and the Cuban government assumes all costs. Education is also considered a human right, and all levels of education are free for citizens. Thus, 67% of university graduates are women. Yolande Ferrer, former Secretary General of the Federation of Cuban Women, has stated that it is the revolution, the very reason why the U.S. hates Cuba, that has made possible what Cuban women are and what they will become as they fight for further progress. Cuba's revolution overthrew a U.S.-backed dictator and enabled working people to take power into their own hands. Ferrer also said that the biggest source of violence against women was the U.S. blockade. In October 2015, the U.N. voted on a resolution condemning this blockade. 191 countries supported the resolution condemning the blockade. Two of them did not. Those countries were the U.S. and Israel. In the case of Rasmiya Odeh, it is Israel that we hope to put on trial. In 1969, Rasmiya Odeh was arrested in a sweep along with 500 others. She was brutally tortured, physically, emotionally, and sexually, and convicted in an Israeli military court. Israeli military courts convict 98% of the Palestinians who are brought before them. She was released in a prisoner exchange in 1979, indicating that her arrest was politically motivated, and went before the UN to testify about Israel's torture tactics. Now, 37 years later, as the movement opposing Israeli occupation is growing more rapidly than ever, a Palestinian leader who has devoted several years of her life to the empowerment of Arab women is threatened with prison and deportation. Frank Chapman of the Chicago Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression, who I'm proud to call comrade, often compares the case of Rasmiya Odeh to the case of Angela Davis. I see this comparison as apt in two major ways. The first is that both cases highlight the racist, discriminatory nature of our justice, or rather injustice, system. The second is that they both beautifully illustrate women resisting repression as well as the power of a people's movement. Upon the return of the guilty verdict, Rasmiya told supporters, "There is justice in this world. Maybe not in this court, but there is justice in the world and we will find it. We have to change this world. We have to bring the justice together." She said, "I'm strong and I'm asking all of you to be strong. I think in spite of everything, we are the stronger people." After the verdict was announced, the judge decided to send Rasmiya to jail immediately. This was a painful shock to all of her supporters. But the leaders of the Rasmiya Defense Committee and the Arab Women's Committee that Rasmiya leads knew exactly what to do. We marched in downtown Detroit until our feet hurt and chanted until our voices were on the verge of giving completely out. Because as the chant goes, when community leaders are under attack, what do we do? What do we do? We will continue to fight back and invite everyone to join us when we return to Detroit for an evidentiary hearing, the next step in the appeals process. Chicago is a pivotal place. It is the site of Haymarket that pushed forward the fight for the 8-hour day. It is the site of Fred Hampton's murder that pushed forward the fight against police crimes. It is the site of the 15,000-person march against NATO, a 10,000-person march against Israeli occupation, the historic CTU strike, and I believe will go down in history as the headquarters for the fight for justice for Rasmiya. We are here today focusing on the movement of fighting injustice that rises like a phoenix from the ashes again and again. We are focusing on women fighters and revolutionaries who are often at the forefront of these movements. I am honored today to present awards to women in struggle who embody these elements, who not only wage a tireless war against injustice, but also inspire others to do the same. Thank you.